Good morning, everyone. I wonder if you've been thinking this week about how you can taste and see that God is good, as we thought about in Psalm 34 last week. This week, we're going to be reflecting on Psalm 27. So I will pray and then I will read that to you. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me, and his sacred tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not hand me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. We've had nearly 18 months of longing and waiting, something that this psalm speaks into. Scholars think it was written whilst David was in exile, pursued by Saul, separated from his beloved friend Jonathan, witnessing the cruelty of war and not sure of what the future held. This is not a happy clappy psalm, one that pretends all is well and denies that there are struggles for those who follow God. This does not display a theology that says all will be well if you do the right thing and follow God. It is real, acknowledging that difficult situations and bad things happen to good people, which cannot be explained away by a lack of faith, a lack of fervent prayer or trust. The first six verses deal precisely with trusting in God, and the rest of the psalm then pleads to God to stay close. David, the writer of the psalm, could well have written the words, "The Lord is my light and salvation, and the Lord is my fortress," whilst hiding in a dark cave with little protection. He's reminding himself that although the situation looks bleak, God is there for him, so why should he be afraid? Sometimes, although we know these truths, it's good to say them out loud to remind ourselves of them. In verses 2 and 3, he speaks of the enemy settling in, not in a sudden invasion, but literally surrounded by enemies ready to attack and devour him. His circumstances are unbearable. In this instance, parts of the Psalms can seem removed from our world. We're not dealing with literal armies and enemies in the same way. Yet we are surrounded by things that have taken root within our world, things that can harm us mentally, physically, emotionally and spiritually. I wonder what you consider the enemies of living a life of following Jesus today. What do you see as the things that get in the way of God's world flourishing, where you live, work and spend your time? What has surrounded us that seeks to devour us, to take away our way of living? Maybe a deep loneliness, particularly following on from the past year. Or maybe debt. Maybe the pressure to have it all. Perhaps illness or infirmity. But what about consumerism that is damaging our natural world, or greed that makes conducting business with others difficult? Perhaps society's constant pressure to be busy. All manner of things seek to push out a godly way of life, a slow invasion of how we would really like to live and how God has created the world to be. I invite you to consider what it is in your life that inhibits you from living life to the full, life as God intends. So David the psalmist asks not to be removed from the troubles, but towards God, to dwell within God's house. Verse 4, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. The temple wasn't yet built at this point. This isn't a literal house of God. David is talking about, rather he is asking to be surrounded by God's presence, to dwell, to abide, to linger, to reside. It's not a quick doorstep visit or to be removed from the world. David is seeking to know God in the midst of ongoing trouble. Something we've learnt to appreciate to a greater degree in the last year is God's universal presence. To behold his beauty in the kindness of friends, the wonders of creation, in a phone call or a simple card, through reading scripture and in our own homes. Just think about that for a moment. The God of all creation dwelling in our homes. Of course, we know it gets even better. He dwells in us too by his Spirit. That is worth pondering on. Being in tune with this grace all around us and within us, for God is love, lifts our spirits. And it's not some vague deity we seek. David seeks God's face, a God who is recognisable, someone we know and can trust. And this side of the resurrection, we can know the intimate relationship with Jesus, who shared in our human pain and suffering. We don't need to hang our heads in shame and sorrow. They can be lifted in bold confidence, as verse 6 says. Many translations of the original Hebrew text use the word Lord written in capitals with the larger L font with the L larger font than the rest of the letters. And when you see this, it's been translated from the Hebrew word Yahweh, a name which I'm sure you've heard used for God. But actually, Yahweh was not originally spelt like this. It was actually the letters YHWH, and the vowels were added later just to make it easier to pronounce. The Bible's gone through a number of changes with what we read today, so as a consequence, we lose some of this meaning. YHWH. Wow. If you sound it out, sounds like the sound of a breath, the sound of life. God imbuing life in every breath we take into our bodies. It's a beautiful thought that we can breathe in God. And for this reason, I like to read the translations that use the name Yahweh, because it reminds me of God's life-giving spirit. It reminds me that he is close. He is in all. He is life and love itself here with us now. The image that David uses of God sheltering us on a high rock that might at first seem exposed and open to the elements, yet I suspect David is imagining a fortress with a high vantage point, a place of security removed from the melee of the armies surrounding him, yet in full view of it. It's a grounded, solid and settled place where he can be confident in God, where we can abide with God, watching with a new and secure perspective. This reminds me of a time when I used to meet Jane, it's not her real name, a survivor of domestic abuse. Jane was in constant fear of bumping into her perpetrator. Every school pickup, every trip to the shops was a cause for deep anguish and fear. She was surrounded by unbearable circumstances. I got to know Jane through a food bank. She was struggling financially because using the local supermarket had meant bumping into her abuser in the past. So she needed to use local corner shops, which were more expensive to shop at. We used to meet for coffee, and on one of those occasions, I took her to the cliffs at Southend. This area is very different from Norfolk, where you can often get a view of the sea from high up. In this part of Essex, most of the sea view is from ground level. But on the cliffs at Southend, Jane's whole demeanour changed as she quite literally gained a new perspective. As she stood there enjoying the vast sweep of the sea, the enormity of God and his perspective on her life, she felt safe. Nothing had actually changed. She was still living in an area that was overwhelmingly difficult. Yet on another level, everything had changed. I'm pleased to say her story has a happy ending, and she's now living safely in a different country, and she was baptised recently and is enjoying a life following Jesus. I think one of the reasons why these past 18 months has had the effect of reducing mental well-being is that often we need others to show us a different perspective. It's so easy to get caught up in our own world and thoughts. But it's not just other humans we need. When we spend time in God's presence, his beauty becomes our focus and we are able to sing and delight in him rather than being overwhelmed by our situation. Verse 4 might use the word beauty, or many others also fit with the original Hebrew. Perfections, marvellous beauty, sweetness, pleasantness, friendliness, graciousness, goodness, loveliness, splendour, delightfulness. Meditating or thinking about these things is key from turning our inward-looking focus and troubles to gratitude and trust in God, who is bigger than them. It has a way of connecting us to a wider perspective. The word seek in verse 4 can also mean to crave, inquire, meditate, take pleasure in, and it comes from a root word that means to arise at dawn. Perhaps David was saying that he would arise at dawn every day to take pleasure in God. I don't know if you've watched the children's film The Polar Express about a boy who doesn't believe in Father Christmas. He has trouble hearing Santa's sleigh bell, and as he shakes it to hear the noise that everyone else is around him is hearing, he hears the words doubter, doubter, doubter. But then he decides to do something about it. Rather than not believing because he can't hear, he says out loud, "I believe," which is the point at which he hears the bell tinkling. There's a link at the end of this, and you can watch the clip for yourself if you'd like. We say seeing is believing, but I wonder if, where God is concerned, believing is seeing. John 11:40 says, "Blessed are those who believe yet have not seen." When we choose to believe in God's goodness, marvellous beauty, splendour and friendliness, we begin to notice it all around us. This is not some denial or a cover-up of difficult circumstances. Rather, it's a bold act of faith. It's not politely denying that troubles exist in a civil response that we often give to the question, "How are you?" "I'm fine, thank you," when we know we're not. Acknowledgement of negativity does not mean lack of faith or revealing God's loss of control or unloving nature. It's in these times that our faith is built up. That's when we have to seek God, to call on him and trust in him as we wait. It's in these times that he will strengthen us, for new life is rooted in dark places. The boy in the Polar Express film was unsure, yet that small act of naming a tiny seed of belief was the very thing that allowed it to flourish. It was the same for David. The act of seeking God shows that he believed that God was there in the midst of the circumstances. It was the beginnings of change. Faith is not a pledge for what is to come. God is present here with us now in this life. We don't need to wait for the next part of our lives to discover his goodness. We can know God in the midst of everyday life, even in the midst of a difficult everyday life. This week and in the coming days and weeks, when faced with trials, I'd encourage you to try a breath prayer as a way of seeking God, just as we thought of using the word Yahweh, as it sounds like breath. As you breathe in and out, slowly say a word or a phrase that helps you to focus on God. You can say it in your head or out loud, so this spiritual exercise can be done anywhere and at any time. You can do it for as long or as little as time you have. A couple of minutes is probably a good place to start. The word that you use or the phrase that you use is up to you, but here are some suggestions. Dwell, Yahweh, seek, or the phrase, be still and know that I am God. Voice a seed of faith, call out, believe God is there, and there you will find him. God's time and dimension can be hidden from us, but as David says in verse 13, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. I'd also encourage you to read this psalm every day this coming week. David asked for one thing, which was to dwell in God. And whether you do that through reading the psalm, breath prayers, meeting with God as you walk and enjoy his creation, or any other way, do immerse yourself in him, the God whose goodness and grace gives us a new perspective, the God who will not fail us. There are two links here that you might like to use as you seek God. And the first is Teze's, O Lord, hear my prayer. And the second one is Jonathan Ogden's interpretation of Psalm 27. I've spoken for a bit longer than this week than normal, but I'd like to finish by reading again Psalm 27 in the Passion Translation. Yahweh is my revelation light and the source of my salvation. I fear no one. I'll never turn back and run, for you, Yahweh, surround and protect me. When evil comes to destroy me, they will be the ones who turn back. My heart will not fear, even if an army rises to attack. I will not be shaken, even if war is imminent. Here's the one thing I crave from Yahweh, the one thing I seek above all else. I want to live with him every moment in his house, beholding the marvellous beauty of Yahweh, filled with awe, delighting in his glory and grace. I want to contemplate in his temple. In the day of trouble, he will treasure me in his shelter, under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock, out of reach from all my enemies who surround me. Triumphant now, I'll bring him my offerings of praise, singing and shouting with ecstatic joy. Yes, I will sing praises to Yahweh. Hear my cry, show me mercy and send me the help I need. I heard your voice in my heart say, come, seek my face. My inner being responded, Yahweh, I'm seeking your face with all my heart. So don't turn your face away from me. You're the God of my salvation. How can you reject your servant in anger? You've been my only hope, so don't forsake me now when I need you. My mother and father abandoned me, but you, Yahweh, took me in and made me yours. Now teach me, Yahweh, all about your ways and tell me what to do. Make it clear for me to understand, for I am surrounded by waiting enemies. Don't let them defeat me, Lord. You can't let me fall into their clutches. They keep accusing me of things I've never done, breathing out violence against me. Yet I believe with all my heart that I will see again your goodness. Yahweh, in the land of life eternal, here's what I've learned through it all. Don't give up. Don't be impatient. Be entwined as one with the Lord. Be brave and courageous and never lose hope. Yes, keep on waiting, for he will never disappoint you. Amen.